What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to the most exciting hunting, fishing, hiking, kayaking, sideways bananaing show in the great state of Wisconsin. You could search this state. And there are very few people that are going to get into the topics we get into right here on Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
In what is one of the most exciting weeks of the entire year in Wisconsin. Do you know why, Danielle?
Because eclipse yesterday?
Well, I honestly can't, I can't take that away from you.
No.
I was so fascinated by it, and I was very angry with myself, very, very frustrated with myself, because I had this horrible stomach bug for like 5 days, and I literally didn't go, but I went between the bedroom and the bathroom, which is TMI. I know it's TMI. I apologize, but it was miserable. I mean,
you want to talk misery?
It was miserable. And here we are on the day of the eclipse, and it was the first day I started to feel just like ever so slightly better. And I put on Fox News on the television, and Mark Strell was on television. Now, you probably don't remember that name. Mark Strell was the chief meteorologist at WISN in Milwaukee, Channel 12. The chief meteorologist while I worked there. And here he was doing live shots for some big shot TV station in Indiana. Right
in Indiana?
In the path of the total eclipse. Now, everybody loves, like, the new word they're using this year is totality. I mean, it's always been called totality. I know that's the scientific term. But I've always, they've always said total eclipse when we were, is it a total eclipse, partial eclipse?
Yep.
Is it eclipse gum? I mean, what exactly is it? And I have to tell you, I'm sitting there, so I'm watching on the television, and they've got the Indianapolis Motor Speedway filled with people, including Mark Strell doing live shots at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. When the eclipse came there and it turned it pitch black, it was like a spiritual experience for these folks.
Oh, I've seen a few people crying on
Facebook
and everything.
People
like,
were
bawling
and crying and praying. It was moving. Anastasia, did you see the eclipse?
I did briefly. We had to go on air right like when it was at its apex.
Oh.
But we did grab some glasses. We went out back and we looked. And when I looked, what was left of the sun was like a little crescent. You could see
sliver.
A pretty big chunk of the shadow in there. So saw that. I saw a full eclipse in southern Illinois a couple years ago.
Ah.
That was also very spiritual, or not spirit, but very moving. So yeah, we caught a little glimpse of the one here. Not the full thing, but a little glimpse.
We had, I think we had something like 83% coverage.
Yeah, we had a good chunk.
Something like that,
here?
Which is a pretty,
is
a pretty good
really?
Chunk. Yeah.
It seemed like only less than half of the.
Danielle, you didn't
what?
Even have glasses. You should not have been looking at it.
But of course I'm going to.
Oh my gosh. And then 20 years from now, when you can't see and your retinas are burned permanently, it's because you had to take a glimpse at the eclipse. So I was so mad at myself. Anastasia, how did you get the glasses?
Dear producer of the Matt, or dear producer of Up North News and co-host of Matt and Aaron Air, Greg Bach, went out and bought a box of them for us and had them here. So it
was
really convenient.
Really nice of him, because I have to tell you, the day of the eclipse, when I literally made my way from the bed to the couch in the living room, I was watching coverage. I was so excited. I called no fewer than 20 places. Nobody had glasses left. You could not find a pair of glasses. I am so mad at myself. But then I thought, well, I would have had to have done prep more than a week earlier because I was sick. I would have had to have done prep more than a week earlier. And here I was.
Well, you remember all the other previous weeks you were talking about this. You were leading yourself up.
Oh, I know. I know. That's how embarrassing this is for me. One of the greatest moments of my life. I'm sure. I mean, once you turn like 50.
Is this like a double rainbow experience for people yesterday? It's a double rainbow.
I don't
rainbow.
Know. I've seen plenty of double rainbows.
Have you seen that?
I've never
that,
cried at a double rainbow.
That little video going around of the guy crying because he saw a double rainbow in his backyard?
No.
Oh. This guy, he was in the mountains and there was a double rainbow and there was one rainbow and he was videoing it. And then all of a sudden he turned a little bit and he saw a whole other rainbow and he just started bawling.
That doesn't sound like a double rainbow. That sounds like two rainbows.
Well, hey, let him live his life. I have no idea.
Track him down. Let's get him on the show.
His name is Paul Vasquez.
No
way. That came out in 2010. I brought it up because I was like, going around. You mean like 14 years ago?
It's still going around.
Anya's like quick on the switch. Holy crap. Boom. She's on
what
it.
I do.
Paul Vasquez, as a matter of fact, Paul Vasquez of Summerfield, Albuquerque, New Mexico. So here's my deal. So I couldn't have glasses. So I did what we did when we were kids. And that
was paper plate.
You poke a pinhole in a piece of paper. That's all you do. And then you put that piece of paper in front of another piece of paper. And it was very clear on the paper that you could see the little shadow of it. But I am sure it was nothing like actually seeing it. I'm so bummed I didn't have the glasses.
Well, I was squinting, and we all saw it on the job site.
Danielle, stop. Listen. Please do not call the station. Don't call Civic
do
Media.
Do as I say, not as I do.
And blame us. I am telling you right now, the next eclipse you're in, do not take Danielle Fairman's advice. Do not squint and look at the eclipse. Do not wear welding helmets.
Also,
do not wear regular sunglasses.
You cannot take a good video or a picture of it. Well, I couldn't on my phone either.
Yeah, I tried to on my phone, because if you look at your phone screen during an eclipse, it's not going to hurt you, obviously.
Well, supposedly it was going to burn my phone, and it was supposed to be very bad, and you were not supposed to take pictures as well.
No, that was
not on a phone
hockey.
Without a camera. You could break a good camera.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right, yeah. Sure. A camera with an expensive lens and the whole f-stops and all
I
that
don't
business.
Listen. Shocking.
Anya, help.
What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. So you did see it. It was moving. It was definitely moving. I'm going to have to say, when I have children, and when you turn around like 45 to 50, every once in a while, those growing children, when they become teenagers or something, they'll say something to you and you will literally start crying for the first time in your life. As a man, you like start crying.
What?
And like, I cry now every time my kids are like emotional with me or nice to me or kind or hug me and say I'm great or whatever.
Aww.
Anytime that happens, I probably would have been a blubbering idiot if I was in the total eclipse path.
I cry when there's puppies on TV.
I mean,
or
I couldn't believe it. I saw the video and there were people like on their knees sobbing. And I think there was a big difference between being in the path of the partial eclipse versus the total eclipse.
Well, you could have been one of those people that bought plane tickets to be in a plane, $1,500 a ticket to be in the plane during the total eclipse.
During the point of the path of totality.
Yes.
Anya, you're up on current events. And Danielle, we had a discussion before the show, is definitely not up on current events. Why are we calling it the path of totality this year? And that's like the popular thing. Every other eclipse I've ever been in, they called it the total eclipse. It's a total eclipse through this area. This year, it's the path of totality.
I don't know. I mean, when I went down in 2017, we were using that phrase only because we were traveling to the point on Earth where the eclipse would be the most. I think the whole thing is, in space, the eclipse is always going to be total because it's going to pass in front
of
it.
Sure, of course.
Totality is where can you place yourself to see it the most best. That's my educated answer.
Well, Anya's kind of educationally gifted in these areas, so I want to bring her into the discussion. But the bottom line is, I think it was some people are downplaying it, saying big deal. You know, the Earth spins, the Moon went in between the sun, and I think to some extent that's
true.
I'm
that kind of person. Ooh, that's cool.
Well, you looked at it with your bare eyes.
I did. And then I looked down and I kept working. And then I looked up again. I was like, oh, it's still there. Okay, let's work again.
It's harder to see where that crane really was.
She's going to have a perfect circle of blackness in the middle of her vision the rest of her life. But, oh, it was worth it. Let me tell you. Next time you try to line that turkey up and there's a big black spot right where the turkey's head is supposed to be, that will teach you a lesson.
I will understand.
Please don't do that in the next eclipse, please.
Okay, I will not do that.
Thank you. But I do think there was a difference between being in the total eclipse path versus seeing a partial eclipse, because you get the aura around it. What do they call it? The aura.
The halo.
When you were in the total eclipse path, was it that much cooler, they say?
I really can't explain how weird it is, because it's like it's daytime. Now it's nighttime. But now it's daytime. And nature reacts to it.
Oh,
and people respond to it. It's a very freaky experience.
No, that happens. So I'm sitting at my house And it starts getting that dark, like that phase, that fuzzy dark. It's
felt
a
like
different,
you put on sunglasses.
Yes, but yep. It's a different kind of dark than yep. when the sun sets at night. Yep. It's a gray dark, like a grayish, bluish dark. Yep. And so all of a sudden, it starts getting darker. And I'm in the couch, and I made my pinhole, and I went out and I looked, and I could see the little shadow of it. But all of a sudden, the owls, which only hoot right at sunset every day. That's when they hoot. They hoot at sunset. The owls were hooting, and the frogs started chirping.
Oh, that'd be cool to hear.
Right in the dead middle of the day. Like, they thought it was the end of the day. The animals thought. So you think, animals have this seventh, sixth sense all the time. Well, they didn't yesterday. They literally thought night was coming.
This was a long nap.
And then later, when the sun came back out fully, then the frogs all stopped, and they must have been like, that was a ripoff for a night's sleep, man. I mean, they're used to like hooting and hollering all night.
All night.
They had no chance. Even the sandhill cranes were quiet for like 5 minutes.
Which is
crazy.
Rare.
Which is so rare. Oh my gosh.
They're loud.
They're beautiful, but gosh, I wish we could eat those things. Okay, mm-hmm. Topic for a different show. Anastasia's burying her head in her hand.
I mean, I understand you.
All I'm saying is if they exist in a number that is able to be harvested safely, where we can proliferate the species and have a healthy species, nobody wants to see sandhill cranes starving to death because they don't have enough food and they're overpopulated.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe we should shoot them.
I got very excited about that. I got very excited about talking about the eclipse, and I'm very excited. It was kind of like everything. My daughter was on the Baylor campus in Waco. How much time we have left?
Yeah, a little over a minute.
Okay. She was on the Waco campus, on the Baylor campus in Waco, which is in the path of the total eclipse.
Ooh.
And she said, Dad, it was the craziest thing because everybody was chirping, talking to each other. And then once it hit where you could see the halo around the moon, she said it was dead silent and you could hear a pin drop. Like everybody was so moved. They just sat there looking at it like it's otherworldly. So I think we need to take those moments and say there is hope for the world. If we can all be together on something like that and all appreciate something like that, maybe all is not lost when we come back. We got Cody Severinsen, avid hunter, angler, salmon fisherman. This is the greatest outdoor radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Raised in Wisconsin, I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman, right? You took us way off track, bro.
I did. I did not mean to do that.
Way off track. Like, I'm like, hey, do you know what the greatest thing about Wisconsin this week is? And she said the eclipse, and that sent us down.
Was that not the planned topic?
That was not. The plan.
Definitely
topic.
Not.
That took us down the road of totality.
There it is.
Oh.
Look at
you. See
go.
How I did that?
You're so good.
I know. That was
so
well,
good.
I don't know if that's good.
Very
but,
proud.
But okay, I'm gonna give you another chance, right?
Okay.
Why is this the greatest week in the state of Wisconsin?
Youth turkey hunting?
Turkey hunting!
Ding,
turkey
ding,
hunting
ding.
Starts this Saturday for the youth of the state. Now, you have to be under 16. Now, they say under 16. I think that means you literally have to be 15 or younger. And you can go and get a jump on the gobblers. And that is
That'd
like the
nice.
Biggest gift ever because they have not figured out anything yet. And the best chance to get a kid interested in the outdoors is to take them hunting or fishing.
Especially turkey hunting. It's a whole different experience compared to deer hunting, to waterfowl hunting. I love turkey hunting.
I'm with you.
Love turkey hunting. I mean, nothing like you see them up in there, you see them roosting, and then you get that first gobble. And they fly down right above you. That's terrifying. It's such a great, terrifying experience. I'm like, oh, okay, now I cannot breathe, just like the total eclipse. Don't breathe, don't move. What is happening? And then they get the gobble. They start talking back to you. Oh, so wonderful.
That's the greatest.
Wait, what is the red thing on their nose?
They're
what's that called?
Snood.
Is it snood?
They're snood. Oh,
for some reason, seeing their snood pop up is it's the weirdest thing. I'm like, oh, wait, they're close. I can see the dangly thing. That's my favorite part.
Yes, they've got
very weird. You know this, Joel.
You know what's so funny about turkeys to me is that people are like, oh, they're so ugly. But when you see them
in the field,
they are the most beautiful tone of red, white, and blue that I've ever seen. When a tom turkey is excited in the spring and he's all puffed up, they have the whitest neck, the reddest head, and the bluest shawl around their neck.
It's gorgeous.
They are just beautiful. Cody Severinsen is here. Cody. Welcome to the show. Very, very gifted caller in the goose blind. I've had the privilege and the enjoyment of spending time in the goose blind with him. I have a turkey hunter with him. He's also a charter captain for salmon fishing, which seems to be kind of a recurring theme for us on the show.
Yeah.
What? We were going to get to you earlier. We had too much to talk about.
It was a total eclipse of the heart.
So. It was a total eclipse. Why didn't we play that song?
Because I've played it for so many shows this week. But we can.
No, it's
wait. Okay. What is the song?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
No
Bonnie
idea.
Bonnie Tyler?
Is that who it is? Kind of a one-hit wonder?
Yeah.
I'm not even that age yet, and I know that.
Age yet? What do you mean that age
total
yet? How old are you?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
29.
Oh.
He's hanging on to 29. Let him hang on to 29, okay?
I'm 29. I've got 1 year before I'm in my 30s. Leave me alone.
Yeah, no, 30?
What, awesome. Cody, what turkey season do you have?
So I actually am taking a youth this weekend.
Nice.
So
perfect.
My old next door neighbor stayed in contact with him and his family when I moved away. But I have B.
Nice.
Oh, that's a good one.
My father has D. So hopefully he'll be home in time.
Is there anything in the world better than when you take somebody? So first of all, I'm going to breach this topic with the three of you. I prefer taking someone turkey hunting than turkey hunting myself. Yes, no.
Yes. I say yes because you get to experience a new thing, as we talked about on previous other shows, that they get to see it for the first time, react for the first time, because it's always different. But I also, I know it's going to sound selfish, love me time.
No, it doesn't sound selfish me time at all. It's not selfish.
Sitting there.
One of the reasons we do this is to be able to pull the trigger and bring the game home and eat it. I mean, I love pulling the trigger. That's a great feeling, jelly-heading a turkey. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Jelly-heading.
And knowing that I'm literally, that turkey's going to go from hot out of the bird into a hot skillet. That's one of the best things ever.
It's the whole feeling of success.
I still, to me, taking a new hunter, and I always take new hunters turkey hunting. That's the first hunting experience I like to take them because I think you have the best chance at something happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when a tom comes into those decoys and it's happening 15 feet in front of you and you have to calm yourself enough to place an ethical shot on it because God knows turkeys are wily and they are tough birds. You hit them just the wrong way, you're never going to recover them and they're going to die later. And that's a shame.
Heartbreaking.
But when you take somebody, do you ever notice, like, as soon as any brand new hunter you're with shoots, if they kill the harvest, the first thing they do is not jump up and down, not celebrate, not high five. They look at you.
Yep.
They look at you because they're waiting for you to say to them,
You did it.
You killed it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often they're like, did that really just happen? So what is it for you, Cody?
I agree with both of you guys. There's no better feeling than getting to pull the trigger, especially if it's on a whitetail or a turkey, ducks, geese. But there's no better feeling than seeing somebody take their first animal, whether it's a turkey, a whitetail, salmon fishing, watching somebody reel in 20-pound king.
You have to experience that all the time with
all the time.
Nicky Boy Charters.
If you want to hit the Great Lakes and get some salmon and trout in the boat, call Cody Severinsen of Nicky Boy Charters. How did they get the name Nicky Boy?
So Sharon's husband, Nick's dad, started the company 50 years ago. And we're actually celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, which is pretty
cool. Wow, that's very rare in that industry as well.
But Nick took it over and unfortunately passed away in 09 from a snowmobile accident. Sharon kind of kept the memory going for him in lieu of his daughter, Lila. And Sharon she's really grown the company into what it is today. And she's a wonderful person and she's a great businesswoman, but in all honesty, there's probably no one else I'd rather want to work for. I mean, obviously myself.
So it was named after the father who died.
Correct.
Was his nickname Nicky Boy?
His nickname was Nicky, but his name was Nick.
Yeah.
Right. So here's my question. If your name is Nick, and your nickname is Nikki, is that actually your nickname or just your name?
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's your Nick nickname.
Nick Squared name?
I guess. I like that mine better, but go for it.
I like yours, but I like Nick name.
What was that again?
Easy for me to say. All right, we got Cody Severinsen in the studio with Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish. When we come back from the break, we're going to keep talking turkey because we are on the precipice of the Wisconsin 2024 turkey season. And then we're going to get into some other things like goose hunting, duck hunting, and God only knows, especially with Danielle riding shotgun. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman sitting right next to me in the studio.
Whoop, whoop. Maddie and Tay. I love Maddie and Tay.
Who's Maddie and Tay?
Maddie and Tay is the artist that was just on. Oh. It's called.
This is the song that was just playing.
It's called Shut Up and Fish.
I've heard the song before.
Maddie and Tay.
Okay. Tay.
You're full of them today. I like it.
Full of something. I've gone 6 days in a row without eating, Danielle. This
makes
is
sense.
Me on low blood sugar, which is rare because I'm borderline diabetic. So,
all right. So back to you. I want to know, was this your first time taking somebody new out or have you done that before?
We're talking about turkey hunting.
Turkey hunting? Oh, I mean, I've taken other people out, but I never really got big into turkey hunting up until about 3 years ago.
Hmm.
So
what? It's like the greatest hunting on earth. These guys, by guys, I mean men and women who become whitetail chasers. Whatever they call them, antler chasers, you name it. First of all, a deer to me is one of the finest cuts of meat you can ever put on the dinner table, period. But these guys, these hunters who become obsessed with whitetail, I love whitetail hunting. I love it. I love sitting in a blind. I love sitting in a stand. I love passing the time with myself, being quiet, being patient, watching nature happen. I absolutely love it. I do not understand the obsession people get with, I got to get a booner. It's got to be a booner. I'm not going to shoot a 130-inch deer. I don't get that. God love them for loving that. That's
takes
fantastic.
All kinds,
takes all kinds. You can't eat the horns, but
I could put hats on them, though, or necklaces.
You
rings,
know, whatever there
coats.
Is that I think you might say is not what you ever say, Danielle.
Towels.
But that's great. Great for them. To me, it does not compare to the excitement of turkey hunting. It just doesn't. So it took you a while to get into turkey hunting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was always so caught up in, you know, springtime walleye, smallmouth fishing. I mean, springtime in Wisconsin, Michigan, all the surrounding states, it's a great time just because, you know, seasons are opening. You got so much different stuff going on between walleye fishing, turkey hunting. So I was always busy fishing.
And before we came on the radio, we were talking about walleye fishing, how the walleye run is going up in Peshtigo right now. And you said you were not going to go to that. I feel like since you're an all-time fisherman, that you should be going walleye fishing.
I mean, like, I probably will. I'll make a couple trips up there, but I'm lucky enough to still have some friends and family in the area, so they notify me when the stuff starts
when
getting
it actually
going.
Is happening.
Yeah, but that's the greatest. Having other people who you can actually rely on scout for you, that's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that is pretty nice, but not me. I get to go up there, try it. Obviously, look on Lake Link and Fishity and all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
but are you going to really listen to Lake Link? I mean...
No, but...
It's one
those
thing...
Those people on there lie more than they tell the truth because they're trying to throw you off of their bite.
I'm sorry. Is Lake Link Lake social media that you guys are on and yes. people are lying?
Okay, wait a minute.
Is this like next door Let's for not... fishing?
I just want to point out...
There are so many apps for
Lake
fishing.
Lake Link was one of the absolutely original... Lake Link was out before MySpace.
Okay.
So when my wife OG. And I were brand new married 25 years ago, we lived on Brady Street in Milwaukee.
Oh, you little partier.
It was the greatest.
I'm 25 and I live near Brady now. So
you're a little partier
well.
And
too.
You understand. So we lived in the Lakeview Apartments. We couldn't afford the landmark on the lake. We were like four down in the dingy ones, but... It was so cool because we could go to the Nomad and the Hi-Hat and those places. It was the greatest newly married place to live on earth, honest to God. But what I would go and I would fish down by Esterbrook Park. And Lake Link was one of the very first things that was on the internet. Huh. And I believe it was a phone line before that. Like you'd call and get info from Lake Link.
No.
So it was before MySpace, before Facebook, before all that stuff. It was a forum for us goofballs.
That is awesome. Would,
hey, buddy, how do you cure your own sponsex? Do you do it, yeah. do it to borax or do
what?
You got another way?
Who is this?
We would
that's
cure
accent.
Our own.
Tell me about this accent of yours.
Well, that's a Milwaukee accent.
Oh, is
that's
it?
Like a Southside Milwaukee accent. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, them guys are coming up. We're going out with Salmon King this weekend. He's got a 13-foot drift rod with 6-pound test trying to break the line class records. Oh, it was awesome, man. I had friends down there. We would meet. We would bring our little cured spawn sacks. And then we all figured out that using chartreuse yarn was cheaper, easier, and never came off the hook and got just as many bites. So
and less messy.
And way less messy. And there's still fly yarn or tie yarn flies down there, don't they?
Yep.
Do you use yarn flies when you fish?
Depends. Steelhead fishing, we will.
Yeah.
Not really, not so much salmon.
And that's supposed to mimic like a broken egg drifting through egg sack or?
Yeah. I
mean,
much. Or a bug floating through the water.
Sure.
It depends. I mean, I'll use it in the river and creeks and stuff, but I won't use it on the lake.
Well, I'm sorry. I took you off your point, though. We were talking about like getting into turkey hunting. Why did it take you so long? I mean, and do you now understand why it is like the greatest thing in the world to hunt in Wisconsin?
It is addicting. Like mm-hmm. Danielle was saying earlier, when you have a gobbler that starts firing up, you know, 40 yards in front of me and you can see his head go from white to bright red.
And the snood, you can see
oh,
the
yeah.
snood.
And the snood and the tail fan or the feathers come up and he starts strutting around like, I mean, you can definitely feel the heart pumping, mm-hmm. get the blood flowing. So it's a good time, but I feel like I didn't get into it until I did was because my dad was always traveling and he wasn't really big into turkey hunting. Mm. So I kind of just stuck with the stuff that I knew, fishing and then whitetail hunting, pheasant hunting, grouse hunting. So
at least you're still out there hunting something, though.
Oh yeah, I was either that or
squirrels
or trapping chipmunks when I was mm-hmm. like 6 or 7.
Nice. Squirrel hunting is how I got into hunting.
Well,
the first thing I shot was a squirrel.
Small game hunting is the way a lot of people get into hunting, and you know what's so underestimated, and I know this sounds goofy to people, but squirrel is one of the tastiest meats you will harvest from the woods. They are so buttery, and I'm not joking about this. They've got like a nutty flavor.
Is Anya laughing?
Anya
can't see
just
her.
Rolled her eyes like I've never seen before.
I'm just thinking about the squirrel I saw this week that was eating an onion ring, and I wonder what it tastes like.
Ooh, I like
that's
that.
All I have.
He's pre-seasoned.
Yeah.
That's like when we kill the hogs in Florida that have spent all the time in the orange grove. When we butcher them, they smell
perfect.
Like citrus. I'm not even joking.
Okay, let's
it's
talk
like
about
orange pork.
Let's talk about harvesting a turkey. the smell when you start cleaning.
What are you doing? Cutting into the guts or what?
I had to get all the gizzards out and all that kind of stuff. What are you even talking about? The last
Why are you touching turkey gizzards when you're cleaning a turkey?
Well, no, because I like to investigate.
Okay,
it's just
Danielle,
a turkey.
Danielle,
stop yelling at me.
Anya, I feel like for the first time in my life, Anya's going to be on my side on this one instead of yours because that's lunacy. No, you just complained.
I wanted to see what they were eating.
You complained about how they smell, and then you say you're cutting the gizzards open to investigate. You don't have to do that. What are you trying to find? They do stink, though.
Don't act like you don't think they stink.
They don't stink.
They do stink.
If you have a headshot on a turkey and you take the breasts out or the legs and the breasts, there's no smell.
Okay,
virtually
when
no smell.
We go hunting together, turkey hunting this upcoming season, we're gonna clean these turkeys together and be like, here, smell this, and we're gonna have to record.
That reminds me of the first time I ever cleaned a deer with my father.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Ooh. It was terrible because he's like, oh, you
see gut shot?
No, it was a perfect heart shot. But when he was like showing me what to do, he told me to get real close, and he took the tip of the knife blade and said, don't ever hit that. And it was just nothing but warm, hot air.
Just
and guess what? Guess what I always avoid whenever I'm cleaning an animal?
The guts.
Yep, bingo.
Why do you think they call... That's why they call
them
the guts.
It's just a tiny little thing.
Well, you got to make a better shot.
Well, my shot was fine.
No, she's
well, then
saying
you shouldn't,
she
then
purposely
it stink.
Cuts into that.
I know, but it shouldn't stink, like Joel said.
They do stink.
Why are you... Why,
they do... Okay, no,
why
not
are you
all
cutting
the other times.
Into
okay,
their
when
guts?
I'm getting,
why
when
are
I'm,
you doing that?
When I'm breasting them out, right?
Yeah.
So
when,
you
just so the audience understands, when you breast out a turkey,
you're
not cutting into the guts. You're just you're taking the skin off the chest and taking the breasts
breast
out,
bone.
And they're huge. They're like 2.5 pounds each, three pounds each.
Oh yeah, that's a nice. It'll awesome. Definitely fit in your palm of your hand, like
so,
big old palms.
So okay,
you're breasting them out.
That's sterile, by the way. That's completely sterile.
And it still stinks.
I disagree. I mean, not unless in some way the guts are punctured or...
No, because you can still see the lining is still all intact.
Yes, but the lining, the outside, everything except for the inside of the organs, the inside of the guts, the inside of the stomach, the inside of the gizzard, everything external between the skin and the guts is sterile. It's literally sterile.
Well, then my turkeys just stink. The Fond du Lac turkeys stink.
Do you hunt near the garbage dump by chance? Because kind of like Joel was saying, I mean... The hogs in Florida, they smell like citrus.
I mean...
Inside. They stink on the outside.
No, these are all just lake birds.
Okay.
So they should smell like lake water.
I don't know. Yeah.
Gross.
I
mean, well, Danielle, do you find lake water gross? Is that the smell you hate, actually?
I don't really sniff the lake either, so I don't really know. I cannot wait to prove
try not sniffing turkey gizzards next time you...
I cannot wait to prove I'm right. I want to... harvest a turkey, and I'm going to bring it all the way back to you. Joel, meet me here, and I'm going to breast out this turkey.
Well,
and
okay.
I'm going to be like, smell
so,
this.
So
not do what you did, though,
that you
what
may,
your dad did to you. Maybe I will. I don't know.
Something that may be happening, and I don't want to get too graphic for the radio, but when you kill a turkey, very often they will lose their bowel functions.
Yeah.
So if that's, you know, stuck to their feathers or something, that could be... What's
Maybe.
Going on there?
I don't know.
Because they're not like deer. They don't have like
see, deer don't
scent
stink.
Glands.
Well,
oh,
deer. They do.
So deer,
they do.
Male deer during the rut, reek.
There's no better smell than a rutting buck in the middle of November.
Glands. You can smell them in the woods sometimes. You can smell when one's been ahead of you or one has passed by you. You can smell that smell very often from the glands that they have on the backs of their elbows. Are they elbows? Yeah, I guess.
I feel like they would be elbows.
They only have legs. They don't have arms. So is that...
Are they knees?
Is that a knee pit?
Is your knee the elbow
shoulders,
of your leg?
Knees, toes?
Well, yes, the knee is definitely the elbow of your leg, for sure. But does that mean the back of the knee would be like... I don't know what that would be called. I don't know what that would be called. Anyway, we digress.
That was shocking. Oh, man.
Danielle, you are going to be at the Women's Zone at the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo now. You didn't know this, but you're doing a cooking segment there.
Oh, I am. I found that out a couple hours ago.
I'm
very
excited
about it.
Do you know what you're going to cook yet?
I am going to cook food, most likely duck.
Okay. Do you have enough duck to give everybody a sample? Because it's going to be like a classroom if you don't have enough for everybody.
Well, I'm sure. I have quite a few. I haven't counted how many I have in my freezer yet.
Oh, okay. Well, but good. Hopefully it's under your limit, but enough to give people a sample. Mm-hmm.
And plus, I'm doing it with Brooke Miller. Brooke Miller is going to be cooking with me so we can see what she has as well.
And I'm going to be your assistant.
I know, I'm very excited about that.
Yes, I'm going to be there to assist you in your cooking. I like aprons. I got no problem with that.
And a hat.
What's the apron going to say? That's always the key.
I don't know. I'll find one.
My apron at home says number one dude on it.
Duder.
Which is really a stupid thing to say on an apron to begin with. Number one dude. That doesn't even make sense. But then the E is wearing off. So now it looks like it says number one dud.
That's the reason why.
Which is probably more fitting anyway. But
that got the first laugh out of your mom that I have ever heard during your show, man. There you go.
That's because my mom. That's my mom, great. If you don't know, my mom, she's been my mom most of my life.
What?
Well, I'd hope so.
Actually, all my life. My mom comes to the studio and sits in the lobby, and I always thought, you know, it's so sweet and cool she comes to listen to the show, but she just comes here to unload stuff on me that I have to take home.
It's like always a suitcase.
Suitcases. Sometimes it's literally a suitcase.
Okay, we need to talk about your fishing next time.
We're going to talk about fishing with Cody Severinsen. We're going to finish wrapping up about the Waterfowl Expo. We're going to cap it all off in the last segment. Stick around. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on all your civic media stations.
So, but it can buy me a boat. They call me Redneck.
Oh, that's an awesome song. If you are a hunter or a fisherman or an outdoor user, you cannot help but relate to that song.
Yep.
It's like I listen to that song and I think, why is that the only things I want in life?
What?
Like the things in that song.
Yes.
Like a truck and a boat and some, you know, guns to. You know,
all the happy things in life.
All the happy things. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, we're on civic media throughout the great state of Wisconsin, 13 stations. Thank you for listening to us every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Every major market in Wisconsin and some of the minor ones. Raised in Wisco. Real quick, before we move on to the last segment, I want to talk about the fact that civic media really makes sure to keep you informed should severe weather happen. So if you've got pending severe weather in your area, turn on your civic media station. They will have the latest information on any potential storms or anything going on as it relates to weather. Make sure you turn on civic media because you're going to get the information you need to keep yourself safe through the storm. And we're praying that there is no bad weather for the youth turkey hunt, which is this weekend, and season A, because that's a tag I've got. And then the fowl life's coming into town in May. Danielle, Chad said to say we're probably going to end up at another Brewer game. Maybe I'll just send you along to babysit him this time.
I mean, I'm a really good babysitter. I'm a very good bad influence.
I'm a good designated driver, which also is maybe the reason I'll have to go anyway. Because you guys had like two or three of those $27 margaritas while we were there last
Long time. Islands.
Well, I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. They were so delicious, though.
Were they?
They were so delicious.
It's been so long since I drank. I do not remember the taste of alcohol.
It's not a bad thing.
Until I make it for friends who come over and I smell it. Then I can remember. I can remember the taste of it when I smell it. Oh. Isn't that funny?
Nice.
And now I realize through all these years, vodka smells like rubbing alcohol.
Oh.
It smells just like rubbing alcohol. Anya, shaking your head on you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we used to, when I was in theater, you'd have to starch down costumes with alcohol.
Right,
or
right.
You were supposed to with vodka. We couldn't have vodka in the high school, even up north. So you had to use rubbing alcohol. And then I got into real theaters where they just have like a bottle of Fleischmann's laying around.
Sure,
I'm like, this is just medical grade. And you're drinking, and I'm drinking it, but it's bad stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really smells like rubbing alcohol.
It's bad stuff or really good stuff.
Yeah.
Either way. It was too good of stuff for me. That's why I quit. You know what I'm saying? Cody Severinsen's in the studio with us. Cody, how did we meet? Do you remember how we met?
I believe it was actually through Luke Steedel.
Huh.
I think it was a goose hunting morning.
We were goose hunting together. I do remember we were goose hunting. We've hunted a couple times together. I think we hunted with Brett Bacchus one time. Does that make sense?
But I think the morning that you and I met was that...
Was it an opening day or...
No, it was a couple. It was during early season.
How did we do? That's the bigger question.
Well, I was actually just getting into that. Oh. It was a winter wheat field, and it was like totally green. And I think we were done in like 15 minutes with a 9-man limit.
That's fantastic. Greatest,
I mean, it was,
isn't it?
Yeah, it was nuts.
Lights out, raining Canadas.
And then there's us, you know, picking up all the decoys, doing the work, and then Joel's kind of just off taking pictures of everybody, making it look like he was doing something. But
okay,
he got some good pictures of me. I will admit.
Really good at taking pictures.
I'm good at taking photos, but I also work my rear end off when I'm out there. And to this day, even the youngsters I hunt with do not out hustle me. I'm not afraid to hump gear and all the rest, but I do want to preserve decent moments. That's for sure.
Yeah, he got some pretty good pictures. I actually still have some.
Yeah,
in my phone.
Oh, do you really? That's funny. You should send those to me. Before the show, we were talking about the fact that one of the greatest things about goose hunting, turkey hunting, that's different than deer hunting and different than other types of stalking hunting or sitting hunting, is that you can talk. And some of the best moments and best memories you have in a goose field or in a turkey blind are when nothing's happening. And I mean, the camaraderie that we have out there is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I will agree. Turkey hunting, I feel like, you know, there's that first 30 minutes to an hour right in the morning. Like, the sun's not even up yet. It's still dark. You kind of want to be quiet just because you're listening for those birds to shot gobble or, you know, depending on where you're sitting. But, you know, after 2 hours, 3 hours of sitting and you haven't really seen anything, yeah, I mean, if you're hunting in a blind and you're next to each other, you can kind of go back and forth. And same thing with goose hunting. I mean, if nothing's flying, there's really no sense in kind of just sitting there being quiet. I mean, have fun with your buddies, make memories, tell jokes, go back and forth and laugh.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When you kind of, I was kind of surprised you remembered me from hunting
well,
together.
How could I forget, Joel? I mean,
what does that even mean? What does
you're,
that
you're
even
pretty,
mean?
You're a pretty outgoing guy. I mean, there's not too many people that meet you that forget you.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult,
I
but
feel
I'm
like
going to take
compliment.
It as a compliment.
Definite
today.
Compliment.
Just because it's going to cap my night and I'm going to feel good about that.
You know how much I love talking, right? That's why I love salmon fishing, though, is because you could go on that boat, have quite a few beers, root beers, and...
Sure, that's what it is, root beers.
And you get to talk while reeling in a big old fish that's...
Yes, you definitely, no matter what, do not want to mix having drinks with firearms, outdoor sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
There's been a couple close calls on the charter boat. Some people go out, you know, I've had a couple bachelor parties where every fish they're catching, they're taking a shot of Fireball or something.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
You got to be careful. I mean, it's still a business operation.
And
that's exactly what it is.
Oh, wait, you probably, how many lines do you put out? How many is per person?
It's three per person. So if we got a full boat, including myself, we normally run anywhere from 21 to 24 lines.
Oh, yeah, and having someone fall over. And
you
all
got
those,
a first mate, too.
All those planer boards getting in the way, and then they get in the way.
I've never had anybody fall over, and I'm going to
knock
on wood.
I was going to say, you better knock on
just
wood right
on
there,
wood,
the next time you go, someone's going to go ass over tea kettle.
Keep everybody in the boat.
So when are you going to start bringing people out?
So my first scheduled trip this year is May 10th, I have a feeling is going to be a little bit late. We've had a really mild winter, and I have a feeling the fishing is going to get good fast here.
Months from now. Nice.
So I'd say by, you know, end of April, beginning of May, there's going to be few fish being caught, and I'm going to be making some phone calls.
Are you just doing it right out of Racine right away because they're working their way up? Or Port Washington? Oh, just it's completely opposite. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a great spot.
Completely opposite.
Hey, Racine's good, but we're out of Port Washington.
Cody, you've been a great guest. We're going to have you on again sometime. Folks, You see why this show is the single greatest outdoor show in the state of Wisconsin on your civic media stations throughout the state, because it's so fun. Today, we went from eclipses to drunk guys falling off boats in Lake Michigan. You listened, and we'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on your civic media stations. See ya.
Bye.
You could buy me a truck to pull it. You could buy me a Yeti 110 ass down with some sales.